Okay, we left off with the sugya of Bia and Kedushin via Bia and the sources, and we got involved in the issue of how to define halachically a Bia shelo kedarka. We saw that according to Rebbe, the source of Kedushin Bia is Kikach Isha Uba'ala. And Rav Yochanan went to the pasuk of Be'ulas Baal. We pointed out there are two such psukim. And we asked, what does Rav Yochanan do? Or why didn't Rav Yochanan use the pasuk of Kikach Isha Uba'ala? And the Gemara pointed out, because you'd have a hava mina that required two stages. Just like we have two stages of Kedushin and Nisuin, maybe within Kedushin itself you need two stages of the legal kinyan, the kesef, and the bia, the more intimate aspect. Kamash Malan, that's why Rav Yochanan moved to a different pasuk. However, Rav Abba Bar Mamal asked, how could Rav Yochanan have thought of learning the pasuk in that manner? How then would we ever have a Na'ara Hamu'urasa where the Boel would be Chayav Skila? The Torah says it requires a Besula. And after this two-stage process, she's now a Be'ula. So Rabbanan Kameda Abaye, in Abaye's Beis Medrash, the Talmidim said to him, we have an ukimta, that ba'ala arus shelo kedarka, that on one hand that would be enough to have a kinyan, on the other hand she would still be a besula, and we could still have the world of skila. Abaye rejected that. Amar le Abaye, Abaye answered to those Rabbanan, ad kan lo plige Rebbe v'Rabbanan ela ba'acher. Avo ba'al divrei hakol im ba'ala shelo kedarka asa'a bu'ula. That when we're dealing with this stranger who is Boel, the Na'ara Hamu'urasa, there we have Machlokes Rebbe and Rabbanan as to whether she is termed a Be'ula. However, when we're dealing with a husband, Barur, that even if Ba'ala Shalo Kedarka, Asa'a Be'ula. What is the background that Abaye is relating to? The Tanya Ba'aleha Asara Anashim V'adayin Hi Be'ula. Kulan biskila. Namely, we're dealing with a situation of 10 people who are ba'aleha biya shelo kedarka, that physically adayin hi besula, and we said that all 10 are chayev for being boel a na'ara mu'urasa besula. That's according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Omer, Omer ani harishon biskila. The first is considered to be boel a besula. V'kulan, all the others, post a bia shelo kedarka bechenek, that they are considered to be a boel eishes ish, which is an iser of snut. We have a din of lotinaf, and however, the punishment would be chenek as opposed to skila, because l'chorab after the first one, she's no longer considered to be a besula. So according to Abaye, what do we do then with our original question? How can you have a drasha of Rav Yochanan that would understand that we have a two-stage process of kesef and bia, I, she's never going to be a besula? And so Abaye, l'chora, would learn, like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that we're dealing with kedushei shtar, that would enable her to still remain a besula. And then the Gemara, we pointed out, moved over to the issue of what does Rav Yochanan do with the pasuk of Uba'ala, and he learned it to exclude a shivcha, that she would not be, the Amma Ivriya, she would not be Nikne Bibi'ila, and we spoke about the Machlokes Rishonim as to, or Achronim, as to whether we're dealing over here with changing the nature of Bia, to include a Choshem Mishpat, or changing the nature of Amma Ivriya to include Eben Ha'ezer. Okay, then the Gemara that we haven't yet seen moves over to another drasha, that you require a kedushin hamasurin lebia, that only a kedushin which lends itself to intimacy is considered to be marriage. But if we're going to have a suffix as to who is the wife, the woman or her sister, that could not get off the ground. And all of these are learned out from the world of Uba'ala. Shmami Nakulhu. Four lines from the bottom, Rebbe goes back to the pasuk of Hai Be'ulas Baal. Hai Be'ulas Baal, Mai Avidle, we pointed out. He doesn't use that as a source of Kedushin, because the context of Be'ulas Baal, both in Bereishis and in Dvarim, is dealing with an Nesua. And so, It has nothing to do with the world of Kedushin. What then does this phrase come to teach us? Why does it say Bu'ulas Baal as opposed to Bu'ulas Ish? Haimi Boile, Baal Osa Osa Bu'ula Shel Kedarka Vein Acher Osa Bu'ula Shel Kedarka. Namely, it appears over here that Rebbe agrees with Abaye. But how can in the world can Rebbe agree with Abaye? Umiyisli go Rebbe Haisvara. Didn't Rebbe say in the Braisa that Bola Asara Anoshim, Vadayin Hi Besula, Kulam Beskila? That's the Tanakama Shita, but Rebbe Omer Ani Omer Harishon Beskila Bekulam Bechenek. So we see that when an Acher is Bo Aleha, Shelo Kedarka, she's no longer a Besula. Amar Rebbe Zera, Mode Rebbe Linyan Knas. That in the world of Ones Umafata, when we're dealing with Knas, there Rebbe agrees, Dukuhu Meshalmei, that they're all that she's considered after the first one still to be a Besula, and she's going to get the Knas of Ones Umafata. Only in the world of Misa does Rebbe say it goes down after the first one from Skila to Chenek. Ay Maishna Miktala, as the Gemara explains, Shani Hasan Damakro, Meso Isha Sheshach Avima Levado. That we have Xeras HaKasuv, an extra pasuk, which speaks about Livado. Only one person is going to be Chayev Skila. So when you have a chain of individuals, only the first is going to be Chayev Skila, not the others. Okay, let's stop here at this point and just summarize what we have. What happens to a woman after a Bia Shelo Kedarka? So we see that the mainstream Shita in the Gemara, be it Abaye, be it Rebbe, the mainstream shita in the Gemara is that when a husband is ba'al ishto, shelo kedarka, he makes her into a bu'ula. That's the din of bu'ulas ba'al. That she's considered to be a bu'ula. So that's Rav Yochanan, that's Abaye, that's Rebbe, that's a classic understanding. What if we're not dealing with a husband who's ba'al shelo kedarka, but a stranger? That's a machlokes, Tanakama and Rebbe. Tanakama says she remains a basula, with a nafgamina in the world of Misa. Rebbe says, I agree with the Tanakama in the world of Knas, that she remains a basula, but I disagree with the Tanakama in the world of Misa, there she turns into a ba'ula, because of Xeris HaKosov. So the question is, this we raised at the end of last year, what over here is going on? Why distinguish, if we're dealing over here with the Maisa Bia? The Maisa Bia, the Chora, makes this woman a Ba'uga. Why distinguish, or it doesn't make the woman a Ba'uga, one way or the other, why distinguish between the husband and an Acher? We're dealing over here, the Chora, with a reality. So I sent you to the Beis Halevi, who was bothered by this. And the Beis Halevi starts off with an assumption that whatever we're going to be saying in the context of Bia Shelo Kedarka has to be built on the world of Xeras HaKosuv. However, the Beis HaLevi quotes a Machlokes Rishonim and ends up with a question mark on both sides of the Machlokes Rishonim. So I took out for you from the Beis HaLevi just two small sections. One is Ayin Barosh Perakabal Yevimto, the Kosav Limud Acher, Midgoli Rachmana Beshivcha Charufa, the Ein Ochayev Rak Bikedarka, that we know that there is an unusual parasha that we'll come back to a bit later on of Shivcha Charufa, where you have a Shivcha who is half a Baschorin and half a Shivcha, and we have an Eved who is Ba'aleha, and we have, in other words, she's half a shifcha, half a baskorin, and she is married to an eved, and then someone else is ba'aleha. So the Gemara distinguishes between whether it was kedarka or shelo kedarka. Michlal, it appears, to shar chiyuv elavin, other places we're going to have a chiyuv malkos, chayev gam b'shelo kedarka. Va'al kolponim midivrei kulam lamadnu, namely from this rush, and from a Rashi that he quoted, and from a Tosfos that he quoted in Yevamos, Lamadnu dekevon de ikur haribui de mishkevi isha marbinan mine shelo kedarka ksiv ba'arayos, ein lanu lahavio bishar dvarim imlo ayadei eza limud ukdisa b'gemara, etc. Namely, that we have a question in terms of the nature of a bia shelo kedarka, So we have one place which is clear, that in the world of Arayos it speaks about Mishkevei Isha. Mishkevei Isha is a plural, that there are two forms of Bia. So l'chora, this is Bia Kedarka and Bia Shelo Kedarka, that in the world of Arayos, where we're dealing with Chiyuvei Kares, we're going to have a Chiyuv Kares, when we're going to have any form of incest, whether it be Kedarka or Shelo Kedarka. And then if you want to expand from that world of Kares to any other realm, we need a limud. We need something to expand it. Without an expansion, we're going to assume that Bia is Kedarka. With an expansion, we're going to assume that it goes beyond that, just like we have in the world of He'ara, that we have a question, at what point in the process of the act of intimacy do we have a Maisa Bia at the beginning or at the end? So we have in the world of Nida, which is found in the Parsha of Arayos, those of you learning Nida know that that's where you begin Hilchos Nida, that it's part of the Parsha of Arayos, the Sechiv Kares in the world of Nida, that there it speaks about Ed Mekora He'ara, that the man lived with the woman when she was a Nida, and the phrase of living with is He'ara, that there was an entrance into the Makom Erva, and that He'ara is considered to be enough to bring about an Isur Kares by Nida. And then we have Psukim that expand this to all other areas, that we have Limudim. We need Limudim. That's one approach of the Rishonim. The other approach of the Rishonim is what he says, Al Kain near the Tosus of Yuma, Cholkim Al Tosus Yavamos. He talks about a Tosus in Yuma and also a Ramban, who hold the Sphirale, the Kevan Dixiv Mishkevei Isha, Gabe Arayos, Yalfinan Mine, Bechol Duchta. That we have like a binyanav. The moment that we have one place that mentions Mishkevei Isha, it automatically applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, unless we're going to have a miyut. Namely, the first school of Rishonim held, we're going to assume our default position will be you need Bia Kedarka, unless we have a limud, unless we have a ribui to move from the world of Mishkevei Isha outwards. The second approach assumes that Mishkevei Isha is going to be the default position. Default position is Bia B'chol HaTorah Kula, is considered to be Bia. It says Mishkevei Isha. Unless we have a limud to knock it off. V'ein tzarich shum limud lezeh klal. In other words, why in the world of He'ara do we need a limud to go outwards? And in the world of Bia Shelo Kedarka, we're going to assume the maximum and we need a limud to limit. That in the world of He'ara we have one pasuk and another pasuk and another pasuk. So he explains, Mishum de Iker Dino Shel Ha'ara Haksiv Gabe Chiyuva De Erva Benid Et Mekora He'ara. It was only said in one circumstance, as Yevshar Lomda B'Makom Acher Eli Degzera Shava. To expand it from Nida to the world of Arayas, from the world of Arayas to the world of Chiyuvei Lavim, from the world of Chiyuvei Lavim to the world of Shivcha Charufa, to the world of Kohen Gadol, to the world of Znut, to the world of Ones Mefata. You need Limudim. Without Limudim, we're not going to be able to move. Aval Hachde Shelo Kedarka Halok Siva Gabi Isha Shehi Erva Klal. It wasn't even mentioned in the context of a woman. It was mentioned in the context of a man. Dahare Gabi Zohar Ksiv Asher Yishka Veta Zohar Mishkevei Isha. In the world of a man, that's the only way of entering into a man. A man has no Bia Kedarka. There's no normal place of Bia. It's always going to be a Bia Shelo Kedarka. Uksiv kan mishkevei isha, and so the Torah teaches us that just as in a man we have another form of bia, so also mishkevei isha, this that in a woman we have two forms of bia, the classic one and the shelo kedarka. And so once we have this limud to the world of isha, anytime we're dealing with a woman, we're dealing with these two forms, isha stamaksiv. We're not moving from a specific nida, a specific isur that we have to build outwards. We have this general principle that there is a world of Mishkevei Isha, that a woman, there are two forms of Bia. That's a din b'chol HaTorah Kula. B'chol HaDvarim Shava B'Isha Shalo Kedarka Kamoshi Kedarka. These are the two approaches that he quotes the name of the Rishonim, but each of them flounder on the rocks. That when it comes down to it, we have a lack of consistency. We don't have enough limudim to cover all cases if we're moving outwards. And if we say that we have the overall principle, We don't have limudim that would explain the distinctions. Let's say our distinction between the Baal and others, Abaye and Rebbe say it al pi svara. But what svara do we have? The svara shouldn't play a role at all within the realm of the Beis Halevi. Either we need a limud to be mama'it, if we're assuming that we have the latter approach of a default position of Mishke Ve'isha that includes everything, or we need a limudim l'rabos, but we'd have neither nor. We don't have either of those over here in our sugya. So the Beis Halevi basically leaves it as tzarachiyun. How does the Gemara navigate these principles? So I just want to suggest a different approach, but again, just as a suggestion, and that is that if we're going to be looking in the world of Gzeiras HaKosuv, of Limudim, it's going to be, as the Beis Halevi pointed out, a very, very difficult task. Yes? The issue is that we do not have enough limudim working outwards to cover all the cases. On the other hand, to say that we have the approach that he said, that he starts off with, that we have the overall principle of Mishke Ve'isha, and that's going to apply everywhere, unless we go inwards, we don't have enough limudim to go inwards. Namely, within the world of limudim,
We just don't find
enough limudim to cover all the cases. And so there are a lot of cases that remain up in the air. However, in other words, perhaps there would be another approach, and that's just what I want to put on your table, that maybe rather looking for limudim, maybe we should grab the language of the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara asks Rav Yochanan Haisvara Minole, that when we speak about the fact that with a husband, that he's going to be kona his wife in Kedushim, even with a Bia Shalo Kedarka, and that's going to turn her into a Be'ula, that which Rebbe learned out from Be'ulas Baal, the Gemara asks, where did Rav Yochanan, Hai Svara Menale, where did he get this Svara? That maybe we have over here, not so much a world of arbitrary Gzeira Takasuv. Again, arbitrary means from our perspective. Kesh Baruch Hu's perspective, nothing is arbitrary. But from our perspective, it appears to be that arbitrary, but rather we have over here a svara. We're dealing in the realm of svara. Namely, that as we pointed out last time, we can have two definitions of what does it mean to be a be'ula after bia. What dictionary definition would we give for a woman who is a bu'ula? That theoretically there are two possible dictionary definitions. One is a woman who went through a process of bia. I would rather use the word process than an act, because there's tchilas bia and self bia. So a woman, it's hard to speak about a maisa when you're dealing with something that where there's a certain break in time between the beginning and the end. So let's call it a process. There's a process of bia. So a woman who undergoes a process of bia, she is automatically called a bu'ula. Bu'ula means that she underwent this process of bia. Or, alternately, we can say a bu'ula is a woman who went through a result of a ma'isa bia. Not a process, not the tahalich, not the process, but the result. And the classic result of a ma'isa bia is that she is no longer a besula. That the besulim, those areas of the dam pakid were broken with the ma'isa bia. So we could speak about a be'ula, either a woman who went through a certain process, or a woman who physically has been changed by the ma'ase bia. And both of these definitions are valid. It's not either or. We have two definitions. Like in the Torah, many times we have two definitions of the word achila. Does achila mean eating, or does achila mean consuming? One is a broader and one is a more narrow definition. So we can have two definitions of be'ula. How do we know where to apply each definition? The only place that we have a clarity is in the world of arayos. In the world of Arayos, where it speaks about Mishkevei Isha, so there it is clear that a woman who goes through the process of Bia, right, Mishkevei Isha, even a Bia Shalo Kedarka, even though she is not, has not been changed physically, she is considered to be a Be'ula. That woman is considered to be a Be'ula. And that's the only realm that we have it in. So the question is, to where can this be expanded? So perhaps we would have over here a svara that anywhere where you want to create a relationship, like in the world of Arayos, in the world of Arayos, we're creating an illicit relationship. We're creating a prohibited relationship. But who hadin if we want to create a permitted relationship, like Ishus? Wherever you want to create a relationship, we're going to define a woman as a Be'ula if she underwent a process of Bia. Masha Ein Kein, where do we find another definition? Here, again, depending on the Rishonim, when a woman undergoes a sexual assault, when a woman undergoes a sexual abuse, a sexual offense, then we say that we look at her physical anatomy, and if after that assault, after that abuse, she is still a besula, we're going to call her still a besula. That's the world, that's the difference between Ayyadei Baal and Ayyadei Acher. Ayyadei Baal means that when a woman undergoes the Maise Bia, which was intended to create a relationship, so then we're going to say that we're going to have the drasha of Mishkevei Isha. We're going to expand Mishkevei Isha to a Bia Shelo Kedarka, that she's going to be a Be'ula. She'll be a Be'ulas Baal. She'll be a Mishkevei Isha in the world of Arayos, in the world of Lavim, wherever we want to, wherever the man and woman want to create a relationship, in the world of Kohen Gadol, Masha Enkein, where we're dealing with a Maisa Aveira, in terms of we're dealing with an act that was done, a sexual offense to the woman, be it the Misa of Skila Nara Hamurasa, be it Ones Uknas, in terms of Ones and the Fat, in terms of Knas, there we're going to be looking at the physical anatomy of the woman. Was it changed or was it not changed? If it wasn't changed, then she's still considered to be a besula. Namely, that we have to take each realm and we have to categorize the realm according to its nature. So we have a realm of Arayos, we have a realm of Chiyuvei Lavim, we have a realm of Znus, we have a realm of Knas, we have a realm of Kohen Gadol, we have a realm of Shivcha Charufa, we have a realm of Ones Umafata, that maybe rather than to search for Gzeiras HaKosov here and there, to be able to view it from above. Now again, there is nothing that can be viewed from above without any Gzeiras HaKosov. And that's where Rav Yehuda HaNasi points out, Rebbe points out, that Mitzido in Achinami, in the world of Ayyadei Acher, she's going to remain a Besula, as relates to Knas, except in terms of Skila. By Skila, we have Gzeiras HaKosov of Levado. Only the first person, only the first offender is going to be Chayev Skila as opposed to the others. Even though, Al Pisvara, since she's still a Besula, Lechora, the others should also be Chayev Skila, but we have this Gzeiras HaKosov of Levado. So we can't escape the world of Gzeiras HaKosov, but we can limit Gzeiras HaKosov to situations that, you know, are exceptions as opposed to being able to put the categories within a framework. Okay, just suggesting, such an approach, and I think that would help us somewhat in understanding the sugya. Okay, the Gemara then continues on Daf Yud Amad Aleph V'Rabbanan. According to the Tanakhama, who holds that all of the offenders, all of the Acherim, who are Boel Shalol Kedarka, they're all Chayav Skila, so Hay Levado May Avdile. What does he do with the word Levado, which is totally Miyutar? That self-call-self, it speaks about the fact that Nara Lo Sase Davar. We know that the woman is not going to be punished. So why does it say only the man Levado is going to be punished? It's unnecessary. Mi Boile Lechidatanya. We needed to explain to explain a shita, a machlokes tanoim, that we find in a brisa. Umesu gam shnehem, that in the world of the woman who is found, not basada, but a woman who is found in the city, namely they were dealing with a consensual bia, then both of them, mesu gam shnehem, both are killed. So Rav Oshia understands what is the gam shnehem, ad shiyu shavim ke'echad. In order to give both of them a punishment, there has to be a certain common denominator. We'll see in a moment, the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what is that common denominator? Rav Yonasan disagrees, umeso ish asher shachav ima levado, that there's no need for a common denominator. We're dealing with each of them on their own. That we can have a boel being punished, even if there is no common denominator between him and between the woman. And so the Tanakama of Rebbe, he uses the Pasuk Levado not to say that the first of a series of offenders is Chayev Skila as opposed to the others. That's how Rebbe learned the Pasuk. But rather, that the necessity, according to Rav Oshia, that there be a common denominator is wrong. There's no need for a common denominator. We possibly like Rav Yonasan. There's no need for a common denominator. But what common denominator are we talking about? What common denominator could we possibly be dealing with? So here Rashi says that according to Rav Oshia, Shnehem Shavim B'nei Onshim L'me'ute Gadol Haba Al Hakatana. That Rav Oshia has a very, very, very audacious statement that when we have a gadol, when we have the male being above the age of 13 and the katana being below the age of 12, even though she's over the age of 3, even though we have Ovira Maisabia, the fact that she's off the hook because she's a katana is going to take him off the hook as well. That's what Rav Oshia says. And Rav Yonasan says, no. He can be chayav even if she's pater. She's off the hook, but she's a katana. He's not a katana. Namely, they were dealing over here with two consenting individuals. One is an adult and one is a minor. So the adult will be responsible even if the minor is not responsible. So we paskin like Rav Yonasan. The question is, what is the shita of Rav Oshia? That's what Tosus asks. Pirish bekuntrus b'nei onshim l'mait gadol haba al haketana v'lo nehira. It's impossible that should be pshat in Rav Oshia. The Hotnan, we have a Mishnah in Nida that says the opposite. We don't have Brisos being cholek on Mishnayis, in other words, where we have a Stam Mishnah, which is totally obvious, that we have a Mishnah, Gabi Bas Gimel Shanim V'yom Echad, that we have a Mishnah in Nida on Daf Mem Dalet Amid Beis that deals with the status of a katana who's above the age of 3, namely that her maisa bia is considered to be a maisa bia, but she's still a katana. What is her status? What does the Mishnah say? Bas gimel shana v'yom echad, a mitkadeshet b'bia. We know you can be mitkadesh a katana, not only with kesef and shtar to the father, but even with bia, because the maisa bia of such a katana is a maisa bia. V'im bo aleha yavam, kina'a. V'chayavan aleha mishum eishes ish. Umetama esbo ala letame mishkav tachton ke'elyam v'niseit lekohen tochal b'truma. We have over here a marriage on a deraisa plane, and then the Mishnah continues. Bo aleha echad min hapsulim psalam min hakohuna. Bo aleha echad min ha'arayos ha'amuros batora mumasim aleha v'hi petura. We have a black and white Mishnah that says that if we have a gadol who is chayev kares because of the incest involved, he'll be chaya, and she'll be pater. He'll get skila, or chenek, or whatever misa we're dealing with, and she'll be petura. So how can Rav Oshia learn a pasuk differently? So Tosus raises the option, v'yesh mefarshim dahi dehasam, isa k'Rav Yonasan depolig ad Rav Oshia. Then maybe our Mishnah goes like Rav Yonasan, and Rav Oshia disagrees with the Mishnah. V'dochak hu. It's very dochuk to say that Rav Oshia would be cholik on a Mishnah which is accepted. I mean, everyone knows that Mishnah, B'chol HaTorah Kula, and that Rav Oshia is being cholek. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to limit Rav Oshia. Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, Ad Shiyushnehem Shavim. What does Shavim mean? Shavim B'misa Achas. that we're not talking about a gadol who is ba'al ketana b'chava Torah kula. We're dealing with a situation where there would be a lack of consistency between the punishment of the boel and the punishment of the niv'elas. There, if we don't have misos shavos, that would take the ish off the hook. Were we to have a situation where both would be chayav skila, then even if we wouldn't punish her, we would punish him skila. Both would be chayav chenek, even if we wouldn't punish her because she's a katana, but he would get chenek. But if he would get chenek and she would get skila, then we're not going to punish him. And then says, points out Rabbi Notam, this fits beautifully into the sugya in Sanhedrin. V'koya milsa derev meir. That in Sanhedrin, our machlokes, here we have the Tanya. The Tanya, who knows what the context of this braisa is, of Rav Oshi and Rav Yonasan? The answer is, if we look in the Masoras Hashas, that this braisa is quoted in Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Vav on the days. And there the context is the world of Na'ara Hamura. So we have a mission of Na'ara Hamurasa, derev meir savar, Na'ara velo ketana. That once upon a time we learned Meseches Ksuvas here. That was last year, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Okay, we learned Meseches Ksuvas, and we learned that Rav Meir holds that the knas of Chamishim Kesef by an ones and mafata only is by a na'ara, not a katana. Tanakama disagrees. A na'ara and a katana. Rav Meir says a na'ara, not a katana. Hu hadin, Rav Meir says, when the Torah speaks about the na'ara hamu'urasa habesula, that is a chi of skila, that's only a na'ara, not a katana. Okay, that's Rav Meir Shita. Na'ara is exclusive. Na'ara v'lo katana. Again, according to mainstream, according to Rabbanan, na'ara means na'ara and katana as opposed to bogeret. Rav Meir Savar, na'ara v'lo katana. Chamamorim na'ara afilu katana b'mashma. And in that sugya, boy mine Rav Yaakov bar Abba mirav, bo al haketana hamurasa l'Rav Meir mahu. So what is the halacha, according to Rav Meir, if an acher is bo al na'ara murasa, not na'ara murasa, ketana murasa. If it was a na'ara murasa, it would be skila. Rav Meir excludes the ketana from skila. So is it that he excludes legamre? Legamri mema'atinamla, that there's no chiyuv at all, o miskila mema'ei. Or Rav Meir says the unique din of na'ara murasa of skila, that falls off, and we go back to chenek, which is the classic din of ba'al eishes ish. Avo michenek lo. V'ko'amar hasam, mistabra legamri mema'itla. Kanera, according to Rav Meir, there's not going to be a punishment at all. If you want to say there's no skila, but there's chenek, that's where Rav Oshi is brought in. The Rav Oshi is brought in that there's never going to be a chiyuv misa if we have a lack of consistency between the man and the woman. And since the man would have a chiyuv chenek, and the woman, in other words, would have a chiyuv skila, that wouldn't go. Then we would say that he would get skila, but we wouldn't say that he would get chenek and she would get skila. Okay, that's basically Tosis's perush, namely, just to see what Tosis says. The Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the context of shnehem shavim is ba'osa misa. So the practical consequences is that according to Rav Meir, when you have a katana ma'urasa, in that situation, there is no skila. What is there? Is there chenek if there's no skila? So the Gemara quotes, you need shnehem shavim. So if we would have a case where the bo'el would be chayav chenek, and the katana, when she grows older, when she becomes a na'ara, she would be chayav skiva, this would be a lack of having a common denominator, and this would tell us that therefore the bo'el is patur. The bo'el doesn't get anything, because we can't have a case where the bowl is going to get chenek had the ketana gotten skila. This is what Tosfos says. Adkan. Here, we have in the back of the Gemara a perush called the Molo Roim. But this question of the Molo Roim was also asked by Rav Soloveitchik when he was learning, without knowing the Molo Roim, that this is not what's going on over here. We're dealing with a person who's Bo'ol Katana, not with a person who's Bo'ol Nara. When a person is Bo'ol Nara, he is Skila and she is Skila. Now he's being Bo'ol Katana. Why do we view him in terms of his age and say he's Chayev Chenek and say the Katana, when she becomes a Nara, would be Chayev Skila? Why not say that the moment that we're dealing over here with the Gadol who is Bo'ol Katana, they're both Chayev Chenek? Namely, why by him do we view it in terms of the here and now? And we say, in the here and now, for him there is no skila, because this is according to Rav Meir. And according to Rav Meir, we're dealing with a katana, there is no skila, so he, we pull down to chenek, and she, we say, well, when she gets older, there would be skila, and now we have a lack of symmetry. We're creating a lack of symmetry. There's no lack of symmetry at the point that they are. Maybe they're both chayef chenek. In other words, why bring her up to the world of Skila and he remains in the world of Chenek? What kind of comparison is this? Why view him in terms of the here and now and view her in terms of the future? That's not a question. That's not an issue of Shnehem Shavim. Shnehem Shavim L'chora mean that we're dealing with both of them in terms of their current situation. So here, the Meloha Roim simply leaves this as a tzarachiyon, he starts off, I have no idea what Tosfos is talking about. I have no idea how Tosfos can say, if we want to compare them, we'll compare him in terms of being Bo'ola Katana, and we'll deal with the Katana as though she's a Na'ara. What kind of comparison is that? But the Rav over here said, this is a proof to Reb Chaim. What proof to Reb Chaim? So again, we're dealing with basically an oral tradition, but it's a very, very special oral tradition, so I wanted to learn it through with you. We have a world of a katan. We know that a katan is potter from onshin, right? That in all realms, be it ben adam ha-makom, be it ben adam ha-chavero, a katan is not responsible for his actions. If he breaks the window, he's not responsible for breaking the window. If he eats chazir, he's not responsible for eating chazir. He's a katan. A katan is a katan is a katan. He's not responsible. But the question is, what does that mean halachically that he's not responsible? Do we say by the katan that ein lo ma'aseh avera, that he's not simply in the world of averos? He doesn't have das. You can't be mitzvah someone who has no das. He's like a shote. Just like a shote, you can't be mitzvah him. You can't speak about a shote doing an avera. It's not shach to do an avera if you have no das, so also a katan. Or do we say, yesh lo ma'aseh avera, ela patur me'onshin? That the act that he did was even for him a mark on his report card. Right, that he did a ma'aseh avera, but he's not going to be punished for it because he has no das. He's going to be potter from onshin. So the classic way of understanding is one. Reb Chaim wanted to prove from an unusual Rambam that we hold no, the katan has a ma'aseh avera, but it has a ptur of onshin. Which Rambam did Reb Chaim want to quote from? It's a Rambam in Hilchos Yisuribiya and in Hilchos Shgagos, dealing with the Shivcha Charufa. Again, we're dealing with this woman who is half a Shivcha and half a Bas Korin, who is married to an Evet Ivri. And now a third party comes and lives with her. So the Torah says in this situation, we have a very unusual case where she is going to get Malkos, and he, the third party, is going to have to bring a korban asham, because she's only half married, right? Only half of her is married to the Eved Ivri. The other part is not shayach to be married, and therefore we have over here a situation where she's going to get malkos, but he is going to have to bring a korban. What if he is a katan? So the Rambam paskins ben tisha v'yom echad. If he's 9 years old, namely that his Maisa Biya has a status of a Maisa Biya, Shebal Shivka Charufa, he loka, Vahu may be Karba. He's going to be Chayav. Vahu Shetibiya, as long as she is a Gedola, Ubeula, Ubiritzona, Kamosha Be'arnu, She'ein Ha'ish Chayav Karbanat, Shetitchayav Hi Malko, She'nemar Bikoretiyah, Behevi et Hashemo. When the Torah says Bikoretiyah, it means that she gets Malkos, and he brings the Korban Hashem. Comes to Raivin and says, Ze Shibush. This is Papikak. This is absurd. Shalomatzinu Katan Bar Onshin. We never find a Katan being Chayav. How can possibly we be Chayav a Katan? The Korban Zemin Ha'onshin. The He Kamokin Peturah. And once he's Pater, then she's also Pater. It's a package deal. We can't have her being Chayav Malkos if he's Pater. It's all off of the radar screen. Similarly, the Rambam repeats this in Hilchos Shkagos, since we're dealing in the world of Korban, so it's repeated in the world of Korbanos. Ben Tisha Shana B'Yom Echad Shebo Al Shivcha Charufa He Loka V'Hu May Be Korban. Here the Rambam sort of gives a little cushion. V'Eiro Eli Sheno May Be Ad SheYagdil V'Yeben Das. He doesn't bring the Korban when he's 9 years old. He's going to bring the Korban when he's 13 for that which he did when he was 9. The Ravid says again, Ze Shibush. It's all one big mistake. You can't have a Katan being Chayav. It's irrelevant if the Katan is going to be Chayav currently, if the Katan is going to be Chayav 4 years from now. A Katan cannot be Chayav for an act that he did as a Katan. What over here says the explanation? So Rav Chaim says, the Ravid holds that a Katan doesn't have a Maisa Avera. But the Rambam holds that a Katan has a Maisa Avera. If he has a Maisa Avera, so then we can speak about the possibility of Onshin. Normally, the Katan is Pater from Onshin. But here, by Shivcha Charufa, we have an exception. But the bottom line is that we have a Maisa Avera. Why should Shivcha Charufa be an exception? So if you look at the next Rambam that I quote, in Bisuri Bia, this is three halachas before the first one, Bia Shivcha Zom Mishuna Mikol Bios Asuras Betorah. This parasha Shivcha Charufa is unusual. Sherei Hi Loka Bikoras Tiyeh Hu Chayav Korban Asham Behevias Hashamo. That itself is unusual. You're going to have two punishments for the same crime, one on him and one on her. But more than that, Echad Shogeg VeEchad Mezid BeShivcha Charufa Mevi Asham. That we never find any parsha in the Torah that we compare a shogeg to a mezid in the world of in the world of onshin. We don't compare a shogeg to a mezid. We have in the world of shogeg a korban chatas, and in the world of mezid we have malkos, we have misa, we have kares, etc. Here we find echad shogeg v'echad mezid. So the Rav explained that since over here we have the exception of echad shogeg v'echad mezid, it means that we don't have any peturim. Once we don't have any peturim, so the classic ptur of the katan also falls off. Namely, when we have a world of sliding scales, so the katan is patur. When we have a world where there's no sliding scale, where we have a uniform punishment, even the katan is going to come into that uniform punishment. But the bottom line is that the katan's maisa avera is a maisa avera. A katan is not a shota. The katan is patur, generally, but the maisa avera is a maisa avera. The Reb Chaim also points this out from another perspective, from the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach. That there it points out, ger shenit gayer bein Pesach rishon l'sheni, v'chein katan shehigdil bein shnei hapsachim, chayav lasot Pesach sheni. We know that there is a second chance to bring a Korban Pesach, so if a ger was not around for the first Pesach, he can bring the second one. A katan wasn't around for the first one, he can bring a second one. But then the Rambam says, v'im shachatu alav barishon patur. If by the katan we find that he was around, and the father included him as a manui, counted him on his set in the first one, doesn't have to bring a Pesach sheni. What kind of business is that? He was a katan. A katan wasn't a bardas, it wasn't a maisa mitzvah. Vade should bring a second one. So here you have Reb Chaim, the Kesef Mishnah asks this question, Kesef Mishnah gives an answer, and Reb Chaim says, the Kesef Mishnah's answer is very, very difficult. Mainach gamina, that we have a din drabanan of Stela Beit Avot, we have a problem. And there, Reb Chaim speaks about the nature of a katan. So this, you should just be aware that this is the Reb Chaim Shita. So just maybe just continue before we get back to Tosfos. The Reb Chaim also the Rav pointed out that not only is our Tosfos, we're going to see a raya to Reb Chaim, but we also have a shach that can be only understood in the light of Reb Chaim. Now, what does the shach say? The shach is in Yeridaya, in Hilchos Shchita, in Siman Aleph, Sivkatan, Kafzayim. And the shach says over there, we're dealing with a katan. Af al pi shi yodeya Hilchos Shchita, even if the katan knows Hilchos Shchita, vi yodeya la'amin es yadav, and he knows how to shech. He's a child prodigy. Okay? He studied Hilchos Shchita, and he shechted animals for 5 years, and he's a wonderful shochet. We say that if this katan shechs by himself with no one looking, we can't eat the meat. So the question is, why can't we eat the meat? This katan knows Hilchos Shchita, and he knows how to shecht. Kenu bor zarua, vagos ashri, vatam kosvu hara abedek kabayit, vagos ashri, umar shalsham, bishum de'en ne'emonos lekatan. Because even though he knows everything, he is not, he doesn't have the status of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurim to tell us that it was shechted properly. Even someone who knows how to shecht, sometimes he makes a mistake. And so how then do we eat that which a person shechts? We trust him. Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurim. We trust him that he knows what he's doing and that he would have told us if there would have been a mistake. But a katan has no ne'emanus. So that's why we can't eat the shechita of a katan, because of ne'emanus. Fine. That everyone agrees with. Udlo kamo shedochak ba'ateret zahav. Ateret zahav is the levush. The levush is the levushe Mordechai, that there was a acharon named Reb Mordechai Yaffa. He was a student of the Ramah in Krakow, and he wrote an 8-volume work called Levushe Mordechai. There's a whole story of why he wrote it, that they said that he was caught in a very compromising position, and he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you let me out of this, and I'm not, you know, and it won't be a Chilul Hashem, I promise I'm going to write a beautiful Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote a beautiful Shulchan Aruch, which is, my humble opinion, nicer than that of the Mechaber, because the Mechaber, his Shulchan Aruch is very, very dry. It's very rare that he's going to, you know, give a reason, or, you know, just boom, boom, boom. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the Mordechai gives explanations, and it's alive. It's very beautiful, but Beintayim, people generally don't use it except for people who learn Shach and Taz, etc., where they quote the Mordechai. And he named each of his 4 parts, the one in Orachayim and Yeridaya, etc., rather than using those names, he named them after the various garbs that Mordechai wore. Mordechai itself, the Hamelach, the Levush, Malchus, Tetchus, Vatur, Vachur, Vateres Zahav. So Ateres Zahav is his Yeridaya. So the Levush in his Yeridaya wrote, why do we not eat from the Shchita of a Katan if he knows Hilchos Shchita and he knows how to Shech? The Kevan Shadayin Lo Higia Lachoba Shchita Min HaTorah, that since he's a Katan and he's not Chayav in the world of Kashrus, Ein Shchita So Shchita. So therefore, we can't eat from it, just like we can't eat from the Shchita of a Goy. Dichsiv Vizavachta. Mishehu Mitzuve. Kemoshi is Boyer B'Siman Beis. Ad Kan Lashono. Siman Beis tells us that a Goy can't Shech, because a Goy doesn't have the mitzvah of Shchita. The Katan is like a Goy. He doesn't have a mitzvah of Shchita. Right? That this is number one. He has no Maisa Avera. He's not in the Parsha of Shchita. That's why he can't Shech. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. So says on that, the Shach, Zehu Tema. That is crazy. The B'Siman Beis, Ovid Kochavim Eno Metzuva Al HaShchita Klal. You speak about a Goy not being in the Parsha of Shchita. But here, Katan, little mayor, right? Katan, how can, Vade Katan Mitzuve? Borrow that a Katan is Mitzuve and Hilchos Shchita. Harei Oser Lo Lechol Belo Shchita. You can't, a Katan's not allowed to go ahead and eat the Velos of Trefos. So we see that a Katan is Shaila to the Mitzvah of Shchita. It's not like a Goy. That's what the Shach says. So everyone raises their hands on the Shach. What in the world do you mean a cousin is osur go le'echol b'lo shchita? That's a din of chinuch. Right? We have a din to Rabbana not to allow a katan to do averos. A katan is not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach because of a din of chinuch. A katan is not allowed, even when he's 12 years old, to eat on Yom Kippur because of a din of chinuch. What does that have to do with din of shchita? In other words, a katan really is like a goy. Just like a goy has no ma'isa avera, a katan has no ma'isa avera. So some say that we're talking over here, Bade the katan can eat, but I'm not allowed to feed him. I'm not allowed to feed a katan nevelos utrefos. But the question is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabanan? That's a machlokes hamafarshim. So the Rav understands, what is the Shach telling us? That the ma'isa avera of a katan is a katan. That really, katan osero le'echol below shlita. He's not going to be punished, but the ma'isa avera is a ma'isa avera. This is a very, very strong raya to Reb Chaim. Namely, you see from this Shach that the Shach is taking for granted that a katan is not allowed to, midoraisa, is not allowed to eat nevelos utrefos. That his ma'isa avera is a ma'isa avera. He's not going to be punished, but his ma'isa avera is a ma'isa avera. Just to point out to you that not everyone learned like Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe Feinstein in his Igros Moshe, in the first volume, namely the volume that he wrote yet in Europe, a good many of the tshuvos, so he has tshuvos that are very, very old. So one of them is Siman Gimel Binyan Katan Le'isurim U'Lehechsher Shlita. Bidiyuk, this issue Reb Moshe discusses in his tshuvos, and he points out that he agrees, Hanochal Laniyas Daiti Maskonas Kvod Toras Harav Asher Ein L'Katan Gam Isur, that I agree with number one, that a katan has no ma'isa aveira, ve'ein necha ko'onesh miha isur. The fact that he has no onesh means he has no isur. We don't say like Reb Chaim. In other words, the Reb Moshe knew Reb Chaim's Torah. He said, Reb Chaim says he has a ma'isa aveira but no onesh. Reb Moshe says, mapitam. If he has no onesh, there's no ma'isa aveira. You can't distinguish the ma'isa aveira from the onesh. K'demefurish b'kama duchti, the chayrish hoda v'katan lav b'nei mitzvos nindu. What do we do with the Shach? Ubidvar terutz hashach, shekotan kosher lishchol t'lo nifsal mitam she'eno bar zvicha, t'kosav ha'teres zo, mishum da'akum eina mitzuvah shlita klal, avovade katan mitzuvah, hari osor olecho b'lo shlita. What do we do with these words? It appears that the katan has a ma'isa aveira. Ayen sham, kavanaso machnas da'osor l'ha'achil katan nevela b'yadayim. That it's referring not to the katan, but to a gadol. A gadol is not allowed to feed a katan. But the problem is, right? That we have these psukim in the Torah, emor va'amarta, that letzavos gedolim al katanim, that we have an iser for a gadol to feed a katan ma'achavos asuros. We have an iser for a gadol to be matame a kohen katan, etc. Aval asovrim du rak drabanan ein shayach terutzeh. And this is the Prima Gadim talks about. The katan lav bar zvicha hu mishum de sovrim du rak drabanan asur lachilo ayena orachayim Prima Gadim ishbetzes, etc., etc. So why then does the, in other words, do we have an issue? If it's only an Iser Drabanan, why does the Shach write Oser lekatan le'echol below shlita? Lachein hanochon l'niz daiti. So Rav Moshe gives the classic understanding. The katan af algav she'ena alav isurim. Again, Rav Moshe is starting off with assumption number one, that a katan has no isurim. Mishum de'ein dvar isur legabe k'mo la'akum shelo nitna Torah u'mitzvos lididhu. If we're going to take that approach all the way, what happens at the time of Bar Mitzvah? Do we ask a katan, are you now mekabel the Torah or mitzvah? How does that happen automatically? If it didn't exist beforehand, how does it come about automatically? The moment he's a Jew, who behechreach b'chlal kabbalah zo. Every Jew is shayach to the world of Torah u'mitzvos on a certain plane. U'memeva havei ha'isurim b'shein isuran gam lahakata. Ach, shehu midinei Torah, sha'ad gadlus mutar beisurim. Namely, Feinstein wants to distinguish between a maisa aveira and his maisa aveira. Namely, even for the katan, eating the velos of trefos is a maisa aveira. It's just currently not his maisa aveira, but it is a maisa aveira. He wants to give the comparison: hu ke'en chametz she'aser rak bePesach isurei malacha asurim rak b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov. Vaday af b'chol hashana nechshavu Yisrael chayavim v'asurim b'Yisrael chametz l'chashiyavu Pesach. That if you'll be asked on Monday, are you chayav in malacha? So you'll say, yeah, when Shabbos comes, I'll be chayav in malacha. So if you ask a katan, are you chayav in the velos of treifos? He'll say, yeah, when I'm a gadol, I'll be chayav in the velos of treifos. A goy is not shayach to that in the velos of treifos. A katan is like a gadol during the week. Is like if you'll be asked, are you allowed to eat chametz on Pesach? So you'll say, now, when Pesach comes, I won't be able to eat chametz. Namely, we have an Iser, but it's only going to be in the future. But the Iser is shayach to the world. It's shayach, it is a maisa aveira, just that the practicality will only be later. That's how Rav Moshe wanted to understand the katan. That the katan is shayach to the world of mitzvos and isurim, but he's shayach in the future, not currently. So he's not like a goy who's not shayach at all. He's shayach, just it's only going to be in the future. That's enough to say that the katan is considered to be a bar zvicha. Osir le'achol below shchita, when he becomes older. That's what the shach means, according to Rav Moshe. But Rav Chaim understood, no. What the shach is saying is that currently the katan has a ma'isa aveira. He's just potter. Okay. Now, let's move to Tosos. Once we hold of two, so then we can move over to 2a and 2b. When we say that the katan has a ma'isa aveira, but he's potter from onshin, we can ask just a minute. Does this mean that he has a classic ma'ase aveira, but he has an exemption me'onesh? Is that what we're saying? Or does he have a ma'ase aveira sug bet? Does he have a second-rate ma'ase aveira she'eino chayav ba'onshin? Not that he's patur, not that he has a classic ma'isa aveira, which any gadol is chayav on an onesh, and he is exempt. We say that he has a ma'isa aveira, but it's a second level ma'isa aveira, which is not mechayev in onshin. So he says, let's look at our Tosfos. Our Tosfos is comparing a bo'el to a katana, and pointing out that we need shnehem shavim. We need shnehem shavim. So had the katana currently been potter from an onesh, we can't possibly have shnehem shavim. Okay? Even if the bo'el has a ma'isa aveira, the katan, we're saying over here, has a ma'isa aveira. Fine. But if this ma'isa aveira is potter, so then there's no point of comparison. However, if we say, no, that we have a ma'isa aveira and a ma'isa aveira, but this one is a chayav, so then we say, but when will the katana be chayav? When she's a nara. And then she'll be chayav at skila. So then we can compare the chenek to the skila. Namely, the comparison that Tosus makes the comparison between the bo'el and the katana. This comparison makes sense if we say they both have a ma'isa aveira. The bo'el currently is chayev chenek. The katana will be chayev et skila. That is considered to be a comparison. And since einam shavim, in this case, that's what takes the bo'el off the hook. But in order to build the comparison, we have to assume two things. A, here we have a ma'isa aveira, and here we have a ma'isa aveira. And B, here we have a ma'isa aveira with a chiyuv, and here we have a ma'isa aveira which currently is in chayav, but it's going to be chayav. And the moment it's going to be chayav, then we have the lack of symmetry, and that's what Tosus points out. So all of this is what the Rav wanted to say, that we see from this Tosfos that Reb Chaim was correct, namely that we have by the Katana a Ma'aseh Aveira. And therefore we have a point of comparison. Had we not had a Ma'aseh Aveira by the Katana, there would have been no point of comparison. He couldn't get it off the ground. Had we had a Ma'aseh Aveira in a Ptur, there would have been no point of comparison. But if we have a Ma'aseh Aveira with a Chiyuv in the wings, then we have a point of comparison. And we compare the current Chiyuv to the Chiyuv in the wings, which is the moment that we have, that, you know, it's where we're able to speak about likes and likes. Yes?
If we have a Ma'aseh Aveira in a Ptur, so why can't we compare?
Because in other words, we can't speak about Shnehem Shavim Ba'onesh when one of them is potter from an Onesh.
But they will not be potter in the future, you can say.
So that's already something new. Namely, what?
I mean, just like you're saying that the katan will be chayiv in the future.
No, but we're saying over here that the might, in other words, if we're dealing with it, we have a classic Ma'aseh Aveira, but a ptur from Onesh, so the Shnehem Shavim is in the world of Onesh. That's what Tosis is. Comparison. Shnehem Shavim, what's his language? That Shnehem Bemisa Achas, that the Shavim is in the world of Onesh. If we have one who's Chayev and one is Pator, they're not Shavim, we don't kick it off the ground in terms of comparing Onesh. If we have one who is currently Chayev and one who will be Chayev, we can speak about a point of comparison. Namely that he's in the world of Onshin and she's in the world of Onshin. If we have a Ptur, she's not in the world of Onshim. If we have Eino Chayav, it means she's in the world of Onshim, just it's being held off. And so we're comparing her when the Onesh hits in to him when he has the Onesh. Namely that we have a world of Onshim that apply to both of them. Both of them are a Ma'aseh Aveira, and both of them have a Chiyuv. But if we're dealing with her as being Pater, it wouldn't get off the ground. I hear what you're saying. In other words, that this maybe is unnecessary. Maybe the moment that we say two, it's irrelevant if you say two A or two B. But the Rav wanted to follow through that he felt that two B would be a better point of comparison, that you have more in common between the Boel and the Ketana. That both of them are in the world of Ma'aseh Aveira. Both of them are in the world of Onshim. Just that he has the Onesh currently, Chenek, and the moment she enters into the world of Chiyuv, then it's going to be on a different plane, and that's the Enam Shavim. Yes?
Then we asked before why the Baal are focusing on it.
What?
Now, the original question we asked was like, why it's not a real comparison because the Baal are focusing on now, as opposed to the Katana of the future, why don't we just focus on the Katana now?
In other words, we're saying that we're comparing his act currently to her act currently. His act currently is a Ma'aseh Aveira. Her act currently is a Ma'aseh Aveira. His act of a Ma'aseh Aveira is currently Chayav. Her act of a Ma'aseh Aveira is in the realm of Chiyuv. And it's going to enter. Namely, it's... Tosis makes the comparison. He makes the jump. The question is whether the jump is on the board or off the board. What the Rav tried to do is point out that Tosis is still on the board. Namely, had she not had a Ma'aseh Aveira, there's nothing to talk about. Had she had a Ma'aseh Aveira but a Ptur, there's nothing to talk about. If she has a Ma'aseh Aveira and a Chiyuv, but the Chiyuv is that which is just behind the curtains, so that we can speak about possibly as being a point of comparison. Again, the Rav is not saying that he's thrilled with this comparison of Rabbeinu Tam. He's saying, but once Rabbeinu Tam makes the comparison, if you'll ask what were his assumptions were that the Boel has a Ma'aseh Aveira, the Katana has a Ma'aseh Aveira. Namely, that a Katan has a Ma'aseh Aveira. The Boel has a Chiyuv, and the Katana is Shayach to the world of Chiyuv. So that's the point of comparison. Once we have those points of comparison, then Tosfos can make point out that we have a lack of symmetry between Chenek and Skila, which is what Rav Oshia is saying. Had we not had these two assumptions, then it wouldn't have been at all possible to speak about a point of comparison. With these two assumptions, we can speak about a point of comparison, even though it's still a bit of a jump, but it's still a jump which we can make. It's not a jump which is an impossibility. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he starts off, the katan doesn't have a ma'isa avera, period. The moment he's potter from onesh, means there's no ma'isa avera. We can speak about a katan in terms of being shayach to the Torah. The katan's shayach to the Torah. But that's about it. That's where it begins. That's where it ends. And that again, that's a classic understanding. Reb Chaim is the one who, because of the parsha of Shivcha Charufa and Korban Pesach, points out that the katan has a ma'isa avera. Just that we have an issue in terms of the world of onshin. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'll give you now. It's really two options. We can have a shiur on Wednesday and continue with the Gemara, fine. Or if you want to, we'll just move to Hilchos Pesach on Wednesday, whichever you would prefer. The shiur would be on Tchila and Sof Bia, right? And in other words, until the Daito Gemar Bia, the Tosus over here, Kol HaBoel. And I photostatted for you on the page. You have the back of the page, Rabbeinu Tam, in his tshuvos, and then we would try and see the next sugya in terms of Iboy Luhu Bia Nisu and Oso Erusin Ose, that to a certain degree we've already discussed, but you know it's we can always add, and basically go until the top of Daf Yud Amid Beis. So that's. In other words, at this point, we've gotten to two dots, and we could end. We got up to Shemamina Tarte, but if you want to, we can go, the next section, or not. The question is whether you feel prepared. I'll be happy to give shiur, but I'm going to be preparing, so then we just do Hilchos Pesach, so whichever. Wonderful. Okay. So, what? Okay, no, I assume shtika kahoda. They could cheat you afterwards. But so at 9:15 we'll have a shiur on Hilchos Pesach that others can come in, and then we'll have the regular shiur in the Gemara, and then we'll move over to the Hashkafa. Be a busy morning, but then you have Ben Azmanim soon afterwards. Okay, this is it.
Yeah, I have to show it.